Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. I've just moved offices here at the Academies, and as I was sifting through various pieces of paper, trying to figure out what to keep and what to toss into the recycle bin, I found an academic honors certificate issued to my son in 1999. I remember when he got it and how proud I was of him for having done the work to earn it, because, like many mothers of teenage boys, I was generally pretty stressed out about how well he was doing in school. But it isn't just mothers who are worried. For almost three decades now, there has been increasing concern with student achievement in general. Although there are a variety of different factors that contribute to student outcomes, one thing is clear. Teachers make a difference. But what is not as clear is what kind of preparation and training makes for an effective teacher. More than 200,000 students complete teacher preparation programs in the U.S. every year. Between 70% and 80% are enrolled in traditional bachelor's or master's degree programs housed in colleges and universities. The rest enter through one of the 130 so-called alternative routes, such as Teach for America or Teaching Fellows. These programs seek to recruit and train teachers without traditional degrees or certification. Which pathway produces better qualified teachers, traditional or alternative, has been the subject of often vigorous debate within the education community. That said, school teachers make up one of the largest occupations in the United States. In 2006, 3.6 million elementary and secondary public school teachers made up more than 8.5% of all college-educated workers aged 25 to 64. By comparison, there were about 888,000 physicians, 1 million lawyers, and 2.9 million registered nurses practicing in the U.S. in 2007. Given the magnitude of the teaching profession and its impact on our children's future, it's no surprise that policymakers and the public are interested in finding out how to produce better teachers. Responding to that question, in essence, was the goal of a new report from the National Research Council titled Preparing Teachers: Building Evidence for Sound Policy. We had a chance to speak with the co-chair of that report, Dr. Ellen Lagerman, who is the Levy Institute research professor and a senior scholar at Bard College in New York. Given the fact that Ellen is an expert in the history of education, we began by asking her to give us a short introduction to the history of teacher preparation programs.
One of the interesting things about teacher education is that the history actually is a very accurate mirror of the current situation, which is a situation in which teacher education programs vary extremely. It's impossible to give you an exact date when formal teacher education began. As early as the 1820s, there were teachers' institutes. Those were followed by the establishment of normal schools in the 1830s and 40s. After the Civil War, between the 1870s and the 1890s, universities began to get involved in teacher education. But the programs varied then from degree programs to courses for teachers. At Iowa, they had a professor of pedagogy fairly early on. At Harvard, they taught teachers. William James and others gave lectures for teachers, but the School of Education wasn't actually formally established until the 1920s. And so there has been extreme variability throughout the history.
As Ellen points out, there's still extreme variation among the types of pathways that individuals can take to become a teacher, even today. The committee found that the distinctions among pathways and programs are not clear-cut, and that there's actually more variation within the traditional and alternative categories than there is between these categories. Pathways that might be called traditional include one-year post-BA programs, some are two-year post-BA programs, and still others are four-year undergraduate programs. Within each of these programs, there's a significant difference in how much content knowledge and pedagogical knowledge students are offered. There's also a lot of variability in whether or not students have field experiences and when those field experiences come in relation to their coursework. Of the approximately 130 alternative routes, there's also considerable variability. The hope with these programs is that they'll attract people who normally wouldn't be interested in attending a traditional school of education. By and large, they shorten up the pre-teaching coursework and help people become involved in practice more quickly than traditional routes do. Because of all the diversity of programs and an additional lack of research, the committee was not able to conclude that any one pathway produced teachers that had the most positive effect on student outcomes. Furthermore, just the idea of linking teacher preparation to student outcomes raised some complex conceptual issues in and of itself. Ellen explains.
Student outcomes are the ultimate goal in education. It's what you are trying to increase. The problem is it's very difficult to disaggregate the variety of factors that influence student outcomes. Students bring characteristics to a classroom. Teachers bring characteristics to the classroom. Classrooms vary in size, in how they're organized, in many different variables. And all of those factors together play a role in student outcomes. So it's very difficult to disaggregate the teacher effect, and it's very difficult then to trace the teacher effect back to teacher preparation.
On top of that, right now it's very difficult to evaluate teacher preparation programs simply because we don't have enough good data. Ellen talks about some of the shortcomings of the current system of data collection and how we might improve it.
We need better data nationwide. It doesn't need to be collected nationally, but state databases about teachers and teacher preparation need to be organized in ways so that they articulate with one another. Often a teacher will go to college in Pennsylvania, be trained as a teacher in Maryland, and end up teaching in Virginia. And we need to be able to trace that teacher through those three states. The data are patchy because different states collect different data. Some states don't collect much. Others do a very good job. They also begin at different points and end at different points. People decide to become teachers, some of them, before they enter college and enter college to become teachers. Other people go through a BA program and become teachers through a master's degree program after that, or through a so-called alternative route. And we just don't have data that enable us to trace these different people going through different programs and pathways.
It's not just a matter of discovering the end-all best form of teacher education and then implementing it. As the demography of the United States changes, the student population constantly changes along with it. This creates the demand for teacher education programs that are flexible and have the ability to adapt to this dynamic environment. Ellen expands on this and discusses a few of the shifting needs in training.
Teachers need to be prepared to work with more diverse students, both what's called English language learners, that is, people who were not born in households where English is the primary language, but also students who are diverse in a great many other ways. By and large, the teaching force tends to be more white than the student body in the public schools. Students bring their cultures with them to classrooms, and in order to be able to interact effectively with those students, teachers need preparation to understand the backgrounds of their students and to understand what we know about reaching students of diverse backgrounds.
The quality of the nation's teachers has been the subject of sharp critiques, and so have many preparation programs. But there's reluctance among many people to acknowledge the importance of research in education. Almost everybody has had experience with education, so many people seem to think that they know how to do it right. One of the things that this report does is underscore the importance of good data collection and good research to help us go beyond what we know as a certainty, which is that teachers matter, to understand better how we can prepare teachers who make a significant difference for kids in classrooms. A clearer understanding of the content and the character of teacher preparation will not just help us improve the status quo, but it will also help to ensure that the same critiques and questions are not being repeated 10 years from now, when my son will start his collection of academic achievement certificates for his own child. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.